Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Hey, Doug, it's great to talk about the news today because every day there are parables on the front page of every newspaper in the country.
You mean stuff that you can relate directly to the Bible, that it's like biblical times?
Jesus, when he was walking through the land of Canaan, Israel, yeah. Judah, he would, Galilee, he would take the news of the day and he'd tell the headlines and he would explain the principle, the godly principle behind the story.
Indeed.
And as a talk show host, that's our obligation, no matter Hugh Hewitt.
If
let's say he were to interview somebody like, say, an evolutionist,
let's
like Richard Dawkins.
Okay, yeah.
Hugh Hewitt would have an obligation to point to the Creator God and refute the lies of the enemy. He'd have that obligation.
He would be under that obligation. Yes, yeah. He would.
But so we've got, could you go through some headlines? And so, let's try to make heads or tails of these stories.
I've got a headline out of Bandar Seri Begawan. In Brunei, which couldn't be any further from the Holy Land. I think it's on the opposite side of the planet.
Okay.
I'm not even sure where Brunei is because I went to public school.
Yeah, well, we've got Robbie from Arkansas.
Oh.
But let's do this quick story first.
Yes.
Then because Robbie is the truck driver.
Oh,
Unfortunately witnessed a criminal homosexual act in public by a news director of a big TV station down there.
Former news director. Anyway, out of Brunei, there's been a poll there, Bob.
Yeah.
Most Bruneians want husbands who cheat on their wives to be whipped. Yeah. 76% of people polled in Brunei said men who cheat on their wives should be whipped.
Doug, that's a major step in the right direction.
That's a step in the right direction.
You know, when the Republicans take a step in the right direction,
it's
actually a step off the cliff.
Yeah, they're putting their toes over the edge.
Yeah, but this is, the majority seems to support, in America, flogging or caning. You prefer to call it caning.
I like caning because it just has a cleaner sound to it.
Like the caning of Michael.
Yeah, over in Singapore.
In Singapore.
You know, I've always heard how clean Singapore is.
Yeah,
so when
and
I think
how
of caning,
relatively crime-free.
I think of clean streets and
Remember he vandalized some cars?
That's right.
And I remember the U.S. media interviewing some other criminal who had just been caned.
Oh, yeah?
And the U.S. media is trying to say, this is not going to help deter criminals. It's just barbaric.
Right.
And they interviewed this guy, and they said, well, would you ever commit that crime again? He said, I would never even think of committing any crime again.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's it. It's over.
Yeah, caning works.
Yeah, and so it does work, because then when they don't start the small crimes, they don't commit the big crimes.
That's right. They never graduate.
Yeah, and in America, a majority of people support caning.
Yeah.
So, and I recall I've reported on surveys to that effect over the years. So we need to bring back caning because it's the great equalizer.
Yeah.
Forget about tort reform. It's too complicated.
Yeah.
It's to get the little guy to sue the big corporation. It's too complicated. But if the CEO and the board of directors, if they knew they could be caned, they would insist that their company operate fairly. They would insist.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, great equalizer. That's right. From the boy in the mailroom to the CEO.
The caning is the great equalizer.
Fear of caning.
Absolutely.
Right? Prevents theft in the mailroom. Prevents fraud in the boardroom.
Yeah, God is smart.
Yeah, he is.
God is smart. So caning these guys, I'm all for
this. This is for guys who cheat on their wives, according to...
That's really a good thing.
A step. Now, Brunei, by the way, is located on Borneo Island, if that helps any public school graduates. But let's go to our update.
In Arkansas, Robbie, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob, Doug.
Hey, Robbie.
Good news.
Yeah.
Michael Corrington is no longer the news director of 4029, which you guys already know that.
Well, that's, a bad day getting a homosexual fired is better than a good day at fill in the blank.
At a baseball game. Yeah.
Robbie, it was somewhat expected to see that the media in Arkansas would refuse to report on the story and that the prosecutor would just lay down and try to sweep this whole thing under the rug. But so tell us the latest. So Mike Corrington is fired as the news director from station 4029 in Fayetteville.
Well, right. And the media is busy reporting on boys in the attic versus Criminals in the Closet.
Oh, so,
whoa.
Good one, Robbie. Robbie, wasn't today his day in court?
Correct.
Mr. Torrington?
Today was the day they were going to consummate the plea bargain in court.
Now, I had told you guys previously that he had a 90-day jail sentence with work release, $500 fine, and a $75 court cost.
All right.
I spoke with the prosecutor, and they worked out another deal. So it's going to be the 90-day jail sentence will be postponed. I don't know the legal term.
Suspended.
Suspended for 1 year.
Well, 1 year. Assuming
he doesn't get in trouble.
Correct.
Now, this prosecutor, this is a real law and order
Bob
guy.
Bob only knows that because he's been arrested for pro-life pickets, and he's had similar sentences.
Plenty of times.
He knows all the lingo.
But so, Robbie, Danny, what's the name of the prosecutor?
Right. W-R-I-G-H-T.
Oh, I thought
However, they got the first two letters of his name correct.
All right. Danny Wright.
W-R, they got the first.
Those two are correct. The W-R is
correct. Okay. Now, Danny Wright, this is pretty much guaranteed not less than a slap on the wrist, because if this homosexual sex offender...
Mike
Corrington, former news director of this TV station in Arkansas, where Walmart headquartered is his big money, Arkansas.
Yeah.
If all he needs to do is stay out of trouble for a year, and then he doesn't have any jail at all,
with
Law and Order, Danny Wright on the job, there's no way this guy is going to see the inside of a cell.
I don't think so.
I mean, what would he have to do in public to get in trouble in Fayetteville, Arkansas?
Or
Greenwood. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if he preached the gospel at the doors of a public high school, he might
might get in trouble. So, Robbie,
the federal government would get involved in.
Yeah,
yeah,
it would be out of there.
So, Robbie, what else did Danny Wrong impose upon Mr. Corrington? Any court costs?
Fayetteville prosecutor Danny Wrong.
Danny Wrong, right?
Okay, and $75 court cost. Of course, they got to pick that up, right, Robbie?
Correct.
And a fine goes to the budget, the general budget.
It goes to Mr. Wrong.
It goes to Mr. Wrong. So that's like job security.
So they went
fines.
Ahead. So the governing officials went ahead and took their money, but didn't impose any real punishment. Is that
correct? But I guess the good news is that since he's not going to go to jail, we do not have to subsidize his debt to society.
Well, that's true. We don't have to pay for his punishment. That is a good point. But
we don't have to pay his debt.
But that is a cost I wouldn't mind. Now, Robbie, if you had not called in, you being a witness of a crime, a homosexual committing a crime in public, which includes sexual harassment and other gross things, then this guy, virtually nothing. He wouldn't have been fired either.
Oh, no.
He wouldn't have been fired, but thanks to, you know, Doug McBurney and Will Duffy and Robbie, the truck driver from Arkansas, getting in touch with the Hearst Corporation, the local station, putting on the pressure, contacting the media throughout Arkansas, although has there been a single report, Robbie?
Not one.
Not one, not at any level.
No reporters have let me know of any story.
Not in Little Rock. And you go to news.google.com, you put in Mike Corrington, there's nothing.
No.
Right, and I've checked it out quite a few times. I also want to say this, though. I contacted the New York offices of the Hearst Corporation again today to confirm, just to make sure that Corrington was not, let's say, transferred or into a different position.
Right.
And they confirmed that Corrington is no longer with the Hearst Corporation.
Well, that is good. And they did consider a demotion to a man on the street position. But
just don't even.
But sometimes the camera comes a little early, so they didn't know.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So they just canned him.
Now, on a serious note, now this is Michael Corrington is no doubt having a bad week. And so we need to pray for Michael Corrington that he'll repent and that he'll come around.
And that's what I want for Corrington. I want him to repent and come to Jesus as his Lord and Savior.
You know,
and so that he can repent just like many other people in the Bible have done who've become the greatest Christians of all time.
That's right.
And you're talking about murderers and adulterers, wicked people. Hey, Robbie, Will Duffy has been transferring some of the old Bob in Your Life classics onto DVD. And in the past 10 days, he has found two programs where homosexuals called in to thank the program, the staff, for having this outreach, because two more homosexuals said that they became Christians and they repented of their wicked lifestyle.
Awesome.
That's amazing. And if I could say this, too.
Yeah.
With the Hearst Corporation firing him, that maybe will make him hit the bottom. And I'm just glad that they had the courage to do what many of our churches wouldn't even do.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Pretty harsh indictment there, but very accurate.
A secular
All right. institution
had the courage to do that.
Yeah.
So maybe that will set him on the right path.
Thank you, Robbie.
So, Robbie, we'll pray for him. God bless you out there. Stay safe out on the highways and byways of this great country.
Doug, the courts, they talk about conflict of interest, don't they?
I've heard that. Yeah.
Those liars, they're just liars.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of pig dog liars. This conflict of interest, when you get convicted of a crime, they have you pay money to the court system. It is a blatant conflict of interest in almost every criminal trial, because if they write you a ticket, they get money.
Yeah.
And if they convict you, they get money. If they get a plea bargain, they get money. People think the criminal justice system is corrupt. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. And the very notion of a fine that the government collects if they convict you or plea bargain, it's inherently a conflict of interest.
Great point. Should be obvious to lawyers and judges,
they
right?
pretend that they want to do everything fair and by the book. They're hypocrites.
Oh, right.
And so the only financial transfer should be from the convicted to the victims.
Mm-hmm.
Restitution, as God says in his word.
Yeah.
All right. So.
So do you want to go to line six?
From Chicago.
From Chicago. Connie, speak your mind.
Hey, Connie.
Well, I heard the story.
Oh,
right,
wait. Connie, this is my mother, Connie?
Yes.
So Al Sharon puts on the call, doesn't even tell us. Hi, Mom. How are you?
Hi. Wonderful. Listening to the shows all the way over here, it's just great. I commend Robbie for being brave enough to give his name and just to do that. And you guys to follow through. That was really wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you, Mom.
I have a fascinating story I'd like to share with
all right.
viewers. And I don't want to say the name. I hope I don't.
All right.
But close family relative.
Yeah.
That it involved.
Oh. And does it have to do with something tonight at the Moody Bible Institute?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know the story, but go ahead.
Okay, half the family is Jewish, half the family is Christian.
This is a close relative, Doug, who's a stepson.
Okay.
So when you're a stepson, you have, you know.
Yeah, that can happen.
Divorce introduces all kinds of
chaos.
And the ex-wife.
And so his other half of his family is Jewish.
Okay.
Yeah, and she married a Jewish fella and she became Jewish. She changed her faith.
Okay, so then what? So this boy who grew up in half family, half Christian, half Jewish, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Household, family.
She even had him have a bar mitzvah.
He had a bar mitzvah. And I remember she had threatened the church.
Yeah, she called the pastor without the other family knowing about it.
She called the pastor of the church that the boy, as he's growing up, would attend with his family.
Yeah.
Because she's the mom, biological mom.
And she's become Jewish.
Pastor.
She's Jewish.
She threatened the pastor that she would sue the church.
She threatened to sue the church if they baptized her son. Now, that's pretty intense.
People are so
this
wacky.
Was without the knowledge of the Christian family.
And, Doug, this is that's over stupid. The last 15 years this has been going on.
Wow.
Right.
How does the Moody Bible Institute figure into all this?
Yeah. What's the story today?
Meanwhile, the Christian family, you know how you get your child every other weekend?
When
he was always with the Christian family, he would go to the Christian church.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they encouraged him to read the Bible. Well, he's old enough, he went to college. At the college, he started with Bible studies for the past 3 years.
Well, this is very exciting. So, Mom, the bottom line is tonight he's getting baptized at Moody Bible Institute.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's another victory.
Man, that's awesome.
It's incredible.
Their celebration by the angels in heaven are rejoicing.
Yeah, he's getting baptized of his own volition. There's no...
his own volition.
That's awesome.
He's 21.
So he could have chose whatever path he wanted. He's a grown man now.
Yeah, now his mother may come to the Lord.
Let's hope so.
Because just like we prayed for this young man and tried to be a good example to him, now he could pray for his mom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's one thing that's always struck me as odd about Jewish people is they know so much about the Creator God that you'd think they'd be the first in line to come to the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, they already have the foundation.
There. Yeah, right. Hey, Mom, this is exciting. Thank you because I would have forgot to say this on the air. Thank you. Anything else?
Happy that I got it in because we're getting ready to go in the car and we got to go.
Oh, you're going to the Moody Bible Institute for the baptism.
Wow.
Great report. Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless you guys.
All right. Thank you, Mom. Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay.
You know, I just talked to one of our listeners up in Fort Collins, her 60-year-old brother. Just came to the Lord within the past year. She'd been working with him for 20, 30 years, just for her whole life.
Hey, Doug, you know, there are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world.
That's right.
They say you have to say Muslims. Muslims.
Well, they used to call them Muslims back
Muslims. You know, Muslim, I tried to explain to a guy at the local mosque.
Yeah.
He said, you got to say Muslim. Mm-hmm. And we say, you know, a moose is not exactly in the English tongue like an honorable creature.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing wrong with a moose, but it's used like in a funny way. An alum is the closest thing is a hoodlum. So a Muslim is the worst possible pronunciation of Muslim. So you're in America, just accept Muslim.
Yeah. Well, and we could go with the old English, Muslim. I mean, we could. And speaking of Muslims, Bob, now, I don't know. A pharmacy college graduate was arrested this morning in Massachusetts. He appeared in court today. His name is Tarek Mihana, and he was arrested this morning.
Sounds like a terrorist.
Well,
no, I'm only kidding.
Now his father,
of course, I know the story.
His father's name is Ahmed Mihana.
He was, Doug, this is a great story. Law enforcement in this country is doing a great job. This guy wanted to kill some politicians and blow up shoppers at malls.
Yeah, he wanted to attack malls.
For Christmas time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, which also would hurt the economy.
Yeah, it'd be
aside
terrible.
From murdering innocent people. And it'd be more of an encouragement to the jihadists. So praise God that law enforcement is on this guy and two of his cohorts.
Now, the story doesn't mention if he's a Muslim or a Muslim or a Muslim. It doesn't mention that. But his dad's name is Ahmed. So, and his name is Tarek.
So
anyway, the police asked the father, Ahmed, they asked him if he believed the charges against his son, and he said, no, definitely not. So his father doesn't believe that he was involved in a plot in any way.
You know, the media does that often, right? They ask the father, do you think your son is guilty?
Not often. Every time.
And it's just such a meaningless question. It's like doing an interview with somebody, an author, and saying, so why did you write the book? Obviously, you put zero thought into your interview. So the media asks stupid questions like this.
Yeah.
What they could ask is... Is your son known to hold anti-American, pro-jihadist views?
That would be a good question.
Is your son known to hold those views? Because then it goes to the father's credibility. The father's got to think, well, everybody at the mosque knows my kid wants to blow up the Capitol. So the father has to hesitate. And if it turns out, if he says, no, my son has never expressed any such views.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that everybody knew his son was like that. Then the public knows the father is a liar. This kind of question is meaningless, and journalism is weak in America, and this is an example.
Well, this is the kind of thing you'd hear on Larry King Live.
Yeah.
You know, rather than asking a question that could produce some legitimate follow-up to expose more of the story, they ask the Larry King question.
Do you think your son is guilty?
Is your son a good boy? Is he a good boy?
Yeah. And what percentage of parents, you know, a mom or son is convicted of a murder and she thinks he's not guilty?
Yeah.
It's like 98%.
Very, very.
It's few. So worthless.
Yeah. Now, well, anyway, let's go. I don't want to. Let's go to line 7. Steve, speak your mind.
This is Steve Curtis. Steve, welcome to Bob and You're Live.
Hello again, gentlemen.
The banquet's coming right up, Steve. Saturday night.
Days away, if I can count.
LifeCommercials.com. Hey, it's hard to count when
I've got all the details. The banquet is Saturday the 24th, this coming Saturday at the Doubletree in Westminster. Tickets are only
$55. $55.
And if people call Colorado Right to Life, they get a 15% discount. That number, by the way, 303-753-9394.
Our call screener today, Al Sharon, he just had a heart attack, Steve, because he paid full price.
Oh,
and that's
boy.
The breaks. That is just the breaks, because the discount is a special offer through Colorado Right to Life. Steve, I want to ask you, since we've announced that, has Colorado Right to Life been turning in reservations?
Yes, they have. We've had a few coming off of the promotion starting yesterday, and it's
right.
Just wonderful, and we're happy to make it available to people.
That's absolutely right.
Folks, that 15% discount is available only from Colorado Right to Life. That number is 303-753-9394.
And if somebody wants to sign up either through Colorado Right to Life and get the discount, or on the website, lifecommercials.com with PayPal, either way, but at lifecommercials.com, it's full price.
But and I want to remind people they can feel free to bring their checkbook to the banquet and donate even more once they see the great program and they hear about what
Life
Commercials is
doing.
They could
do that, and they could, I think, pay at the door. But if somebody registers today, Colorado Right to Life, lifecommercials.com, if you want to sit at the Bob and Your Life table, there's still a chance to ask, and we'll make that happen.
I think there's only two seats left at the Bob and Yart Live table.
So somebody better.
You know, you and I thought we had your table filled yesterday, and apparently neither one of us can count to 10.
That's right.
but you do still have a seat at your table.
Well,
and
we'll make it work, right?
Absolutely.
We always make it work. Nobody's ever left out. Nobody wanted to get on Noah's Ark who couldn't get on.
This is true.
That's right.
Well, that is if they trusted in God.
Yeah, if they wanted to get on.
Yeah. All right. Point. So, Steve.
So Darren Streblow will be there, comedian.
Yep.
Darren will be there, and he's just hilarious. I think we're going to have him do about a half an hour set. Tony Funderburk is doing a half an hour set of his original music, along with a couple of songs with my son Jacob. And I know they've been practicing hard, and that's excellent. And, you know, we always just have such a good time. And then Brian Rohrbaugh and I are going to give a talk about our experiences and how we both came to the pro-life side of the equation, and then a special presentation to the Genesis Project of Northern Colorado. And we're real happy that we're getting this opportunity to introduce the people of Colorado Right to Life and Life Commercials and Bob and Yart Live to this worthwhile ministry of the Northern Colorado.
That's right.
That
and the man
moms and their children,
and the man giving the award is going to run for U.S. Senate, I think, Doug.
Oh, really?
Is that right, Steve?
That's right. The guy presenting the award will be Ken Buck, the district attorney of Weld County. And Ken and I have served on the board of directors of the Genesis Project for I don't even know how many years, but it's getting pretty close to a decade. So,
wow.
In fact, that was how I first met Ken. So
he's
been a real supporter of theirs, as I have been for the many years. And so it's just fit there.
All right.
So we've got just an awful lot of things. 6 p.m. sharp on Saturday evening. If you want to meet Lee Martin, the author of 10 Minutes Till Midnight.
Now there's you could get to meet Lee Martin at a special session that begins an hour in advance of the banquet.
Right. That starts at 5 o'clock, and that's a private reception. And for that, you get the reception, you get to meet Lee, you get a signed copy of the book, 10 Minutes Till Midnight, by the author. And, of course, you get dinner included in that. Tickets are $100.
That's $100 for the private reception with author Lee Martin.
And a bargain at twice the price.
That's right.
At twice the price. So get the 15% discount. Call 303-753-9394 or go to lifecommercials.com. Make your reservation there. It is coming Saturday at the Doubletree in Westminster, 6 o'clock sharp.
Steve, this is exciting. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. We'll see you there, guys.
All right. God bless you.
Sounds like a compelling evening, I tell you what.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Okay, so, Doug, are we out of headlines?
Well, I've got a headline from AmericanRightToLife.com.
Oh, that is a good story.
The National Abortion Federation was in town. not too long ago.
And we were honoring
a day or two ago.
And they were honoring the widow of George Tiller.
They were honoring George Tiller and his widow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was reading the report, and I'm not sure I understand. The room they met in had at least half of it was glass walls, glass.
Yeah.
So you could see into this ballroom.
Right, at the Westin Hotel.
At the Westin.
Yeah, I know the room.
Well, the room was draped in black curtains so that no one could see in and no one could see out.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the black curtains that they surround Planned Parenthood with.
Planned Parenthood surrounded with a black curtain.
So what? Do they not want people to see them? Do they not want to see out?
They think that this is all done in secret, this wickedness of theirs.
Oh, yeah. That's what they think, you know. And it reminds me of a Bible verse from Psalm 64.
Yeah.
They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who shall see them?
Whoa. Psalm what? What was that?
That was Psalm 64, starting in the fifth verse.
Wow.
So they think they can put up their sheets and nobody's gonna, it's all going to be secret.
Yeah, the wickedness, you know, they like to, like George Tiller, incinerated the babies he killed.
Yeah.
But the wickedness will all be fully exposed. Jesus said the things that are whispered will be shouted from the housetops.
And the molecules of all the babies that were incinerated, Jesus Christ, with a blink of his eye, is going to be able to gather them right back up. Hmm. And those people, those
and show
children,
the evidence of the children evidence. Slaughtered.
And they'll judge George Tiller and his wife if she doesn't repent. Yeah. We wanted her to repent, Bob. We would love to have sent someone into the hotel to speak with Mrs. Tiller. But
Well, Doug, when you read that story atop American Right to Life, I don't want to.
They did have a
member of American Right to Life was stationed inside the hotel.
But was not able to witness to Mrs. Tiller because the police...
No, but she heard because the whole crowd was witness to.
That's
Maybe
true.
We'll do this whole story tomorrow. This is a fascinating story at the Westin Hotel Saturday night.
It was an interesting time.
With abortionists from around the world, 200 abortionists dressed to kill.
And a bunch of cross-dressing 6'5"
drag queens.
Transgendered, yeah. It was weird.
Overly perfumed men.
They smelled. And boy, they chain smoked like you wouldn't believe. Anyway.
So anyway, we'll talk about that story. Doug McBurney, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bob.
And Maranatha, what a great school. And our website is KGOV, KGOV.com.